It's ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Yeah, after that introduction, Terry, you need to sing the national anthem or something.
Why? You want listeners? You want people to run?
Run and hide. This is the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. I'm Jack Smith. Terry Wall, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to the show tonight. We're going to have a great show.
Who are we going to have on tonight?
Well, we're going to have Christine Bischofberger, an ASA tech, and I met her at the ASA banquet, and she won the official of the year. So we're going to have her on tonight. And also we're going to have Rob Partolo from Florida, who's going to be at the Lakeland race.
All right.
And Sean Murphy out of Chicago.
A different Sean Murphy.
A different Sean Murphy, the other Sean Murphy.
The one who didn't break his wheel at Bristol with 100 yards to go.
No, yeah, he's the one. He actually told me that the other Sean Murphy was his stunt double. So we're going to have him on. And Trent Snyder, who won the Northern Division of the ASA Late Model Series, is going to be on also. So we got a full lineup of great people, and I believe we have our first guest on the line. Jack, can I go ahead and
let's get to it, man.
Yes, as I was saying, Christine Bischofberger, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is an ASA tech official, and she won the official of the year at the ASA banquet. And welcome to the show, Christine.
Hey, thanks, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. Jack Smith is the other gentleman you're listening to. He's the head of Real Racing USA.
I'm that little old man with the ponytail you see during the Southern races.
Sure, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Wow, good.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for racing to get started so we can get in trouble again. You know what I mean? But this is exciting. The ASA Late Model Series is it's a good mixture of some guys who've been around for a while, but these young kids, and it's exciting to me personally. And not all the racing. I mean, you love racing and motorsports, but some things are more exciting than others. And what y'all got going on is certainly, to me personally, exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're having a lot of fun, and it's really exciting to see all the young ones come up and produce and see their dreams come true. So we're really excited about the crew that we've been able to work with last year and in upcoming too, know more young ones, and it's very exciting to have them intermixed with the veterans who teach them a lot. So it's going to be a great season. We're pretty excited.
I heard a story. Logan Ruffin's dad, Rick, was telling me a story about Logan went into some trailer and Eddie Hoffman was in there.
Hi.
And Eddie Hoffman says, you do a hell of a job. And then Logan walked out, he said thanks and everything. He walked out, and his dad asked him, do you know who that was? And Logan said, no.
He will know soon.
Oh, probably this weekend he'll know.
Yeah, that's right. They're both registered for the North versus South shootout. So.
Right, right. Christine is already in Lakeland, Jack. She's an early
she got down here where it's warm. Nice day today, huh?
6 o'clock tonight.
Huh? What was that, Christine?
I just said we get in about 6 o'clock tonight.
So yes, it's nice and warm for you.
Yes, it is. It's about 70, and we left Charlotte. It was just probably mid-30s, so it's a big change, but. We're ready. We're ready for tomorrow.
Make sure that you don't let that warm weather leave before I get there tomorrow night.
Okay. I don't have any control over that, but if I did, I would make sure it happened.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice weekend. It's going to be no colder, I don't think, than, when I say colder, it's crazy, but probably no more than maybe the mid-50s at night, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're prepared for rain, we're prepared for cold, we're prepared for warm. So it's the beginning of the season, the end of the season. It's unpredictable, but we're ready.
What do you say? Congratulations on your award that you won at the ASA banquet. I know I shook your hand and said congratulations. With you had little tears in your eyes, but what do you do, Christine, at the track? What is your specific job, or do you have many jobs?
I am a tech official. I work the tech line, and main part of the responsibility is to make sure that the cars conform with the rule books and. To make sure that, you know, we get the show off. We're in the entertainment business, of course, and having a show go off on time is extremely important, and it's and Ron Varney is adamant about it. That means that we've got to get him checked, we've got to get him impounded, we've got to get him safety inspected, and we've got to get him good to go. And I do that with a number of other guys that are responsible for making sure the show comes off and the cars that are out there that are competing are legal as well as safe. So, and any other thing that my boss, Russ Chapman, or Ron or Sandy Varney want, I've worked scoring, I've worked registration, I've worked tech, even gotten in the flag stand once last year. So it's a pretty exciting opportunity for me, and I'm having a blast.
Jack?
Yeah, I was just fooling around with some buttons here on our, we're having a little bit of technical things going on here tonight. But so how long have you been, is this the first time you worked as a tech official in a racing deal?
Yeah, for ASA as a tech official, yes, I come from a racing background. My dad raced when I was a kid and got hurt. Mom made him stop racing, so we bought a racetrack in southeastern Wisconsin when I was just a little girl. So I've been around it an awfully, awfully long time, but mostly on the management side, and whether it was, you know, as a scoring or whatever it takes, you know, track management to put a show on. Ultimately married a racer and immediately went to that side of the fence, and subsequently my husband and I worked on the ASA Howard Little David Stremme team, and that was a short a season and a half or so that we were there, and ultimately our interest led us to Charlotte, and he went to work for a race team, and I saw an ad in Speed Sport for an ASA tech official, put an application in, and was interviewed and ultimately hired, and I'm starting my third season. So it's exciting. It's hard work. It's great work. It's been a great opportunity for me to do the things that I've always enjoyed doing, and to do that with a great bunch of people, and I learn something new every day. It's not the regular 9-to-5. There's something new all the time, and I think that's why I like the challenge.
Well, obviously, you get to travel around the country, and you get to go to a lot of different racetracks. You get to deal with a lot of the race car drivers, and for somebody that loves motorsports and racing, I mean, it sounds like a dream job. But on the other hand, I'm sure there's some things that make it a tough job. What are some of the harder aspects of the job, or the things that are not so agreeable?
Well, they can be extremely long days. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we're trackside at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the officials that put on a show are there before the competitors get there, and they're there long afterwards. So the days can be very long. And again, too, you're dealing oftentimes with, you know, weather that can be extremely hot. So in terms of, you know, the working conditions, they can be tough. The job is also tough. I mean, it's a highly competitive, passionate sport, and people will push and push to be the best of the best. And part of our job is to make sure that we have a level playing field, and to make sure that everybody's got this, you know, the same amount of opportunities. So it's a challenge in that respect too. The travel can be pretty tough. I mean, in 2 days shows, it's not uncommon to be gone 4 days. So that can be hard. But when it's all said and done, personally for me, the best part of the race day is when gentlemen start your engines and they roar past us. We still do a front stretch start. So we'll have our officials lined up between the rows, and when the engines start and the cars roll off, those 18-hour days don't mean anything then, because that's the point we wait for. That's the high point of the day for me. So hard, yeah, but in tough work, you bet. But when it's all said and done, the product we produce is worth it all.
I want to bring up a funny story, and I hope I don't embarrass you, Christine. You and Russ were talking about a story where you climbed into the race car.
Yeah.
And you made a comment. Is it okay to share that story with us? You made a comment to the racers behind you.
Yeah, I spend. Well, I'm smaller than most of my peers, so I'm able to get in cars and in engine compartments that oftentimes some of the guys can't. So it's not uncommon for me to be, well, upside down, you know, with my head down underneath a seat and my legs up in the air looking for things. And I guess the story you're referring to is about looking. One more butt joke.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. No more butt jokes. So I do some work with a borescope too. So you know, whether it's going down the header, I'm going up, you know, up the tailpipes looking for mufflers and stuff. So I've had more than my fair share of borescope jokes too. So
you look for cheaters.
Yeah.
Let's just throw it out there. You try to find cheaters. You're like the deputy sheriff there.
Well, that's true. I mean, and it's not that, you know, we sit around deciding, you know, who we're going to take a harder look at. And quite frankly, we usually don't have to think that up ourselves. There's always more than enough people willing to let us know where we should be looking and who's doing what to who and who's not and all that. So when that information comes our way, certainly, you know, we take it and run with it and check it out, because a couple of different reasons. First off, if there is something illegal, we want to know about to take appropriate action. But additionally, we want to make sure that if it's not there, we can say we looked and it wasn't there. So whether, you know, we're looking for illegal equipment or enhancements or modifications, we do it and we follow the leads, and sometimes we find things, sometimes we don't. But in doing so, sometimes I'm upside down, sometimes I'm under cars,
sure,
and sometimes I'm in engine compartments. So I get my fair share of ribbing on it, and that's just fine with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Terry and I kind of have the same attitude about all that. You know, a lot of us in the media, I mean, you know, the whole deal with tech officials versus the drivers, you know, and finding them if they're stretching things a little beyond their limit, that's all part of the game, you know. It's like, I know some of the competitors, of course, at times it gets very serious because there's, you know, there's money, pride, and all that involved, and egos, not to mention that. But, you know, beyond that, hey, it's part of the game, you know, it's part of the deal, and, you know, gives fans something to argue about and carry on with. And it's just an interest, you know, if somebody gets busted for doing something illegal on their car, it's no, not personal. It's just they tried to stretch it to the end, huh?
Well, that, and also that, you know, when a car does and a team does perform well, and there's accusations made, and oftentimes it helps dispel the accusation that they're doing something illegal. I mean, we pull it apart, take a look at it, whatever it is we need to do, and find out they're perfectly legitimate. That builds their credibility as well, that they were actually good for the reasons they were good, not because they've had some unfair advantage. So it works both ways. And there's been a number of times I've had to, you know, tell somebody we're pulling an engine tonight, and we're pulling an engine tonight because we've had an accusation. And if you're clean, that's great. I mean, that just shows that you did what you did because you're good at what you do, not because you've had an unfair advantage. So it works to also build the credibility of the team that is working.
It's like the old theory goes, Miss Christine, if somebody's beating me and I'm cheating, he has to be cheating.
Yeah. Imagine that.
You know, we've had some of that, but you know, when it's all said and done, I got to tell you that, you know, as many engines as we've pulled and as many things as we've looked at, we really don't see a lot of it. And I think that speaks highly of the competitor base itself, as well as the equipment that they're running and the level of competition. And it also speaks to us, too, because we're adamant about everybody having a fair shake. And if that means checking them and inspecting them, we're going to do that. And we've had significant drop in accusations and things that we find. So I think it speaks highly to the series as a whole, as well as the competitors. And it's my husband's a saying, he says, some days you're the cat and some days you're the mouse. And, yeah, and that's true any single race day. So.
Well, taking actions like, and I got to tell you, I mean, Jason Boyd, you know, I watched that young man grow up and grow into one hell of a race car driver, and I have a lot of respect for him as a driver. He can drive a race car as good as anybody in Florida. But when the ASA, you know, found his motor illegal and he got the lifetime ban or whatever that is, you know, and he was basically thrown out of the deal and all that. That went a long way because especially in the Southern Division, you got a plethora. I mean, he's got a ton of young kids and up and coming, and they got their, you know, their dads and them have their reputations on the line. And I think that went a long way to saying, okay, we don't want that embarrassment on our game either.
Well, specifically, that was, you know, an inaugural year for us, and that was important. I mean, starting out, you've got to really set the foundation and the groundwork of who you are, what you're going to do, and how you're going to do it. And there was zero tolerance, and there had to be if you were going to have any type of respected group out there, you know, whether it's fan base or it's competitors or other racing series. So that was a tough time, but it was, you know, unfortunately, you know, it was what it was, and I think it's played out well for us as our integrity and as a series.
Well, Christina, we want to appreciate you.
I'm not done yet, Terry.
You're not done.
No, I got to talk. I'm ready to ask about
another guest.
Christine, is this your first trip to Lakeland?
Well, it's my first. It's my first trip as an ASA tech official. Yes, yeah. We're down here years ago. I want to say 2002. I'm not sure if that's correct, but my best recollection is 2002. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, looking forward to it, and it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm excited about seeing David again. David and I go back a ways, and he's my bud. I enjoy him a lot. And
when you say David, you mean David Scrimmie?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we had him on the show last week, as a matter of fact. And, Lakeland is obviously, if you've been to the track already, you know it's just a fantastic facility, great racetrack itself. The facility, the whole facility is great. The people that work at run that place very professionally, and it's just a great time for the ASA to be there.
It is, and it's going to be a great show. And when we checked in tonight, is taking a look at the postcards that they've got on the front desk too about the event. So it's going to, I mean, it's jam packed. It's full of some potentially great racing. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and we'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
See you Friday and Saturday on this end.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there Friday and Saturday also. I'm doing some PR work for Logan Ruffin while I'm down there.
Well, then I'll hook up with you there, then we'll see you again.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Thanks, Christina. Okay. I appreciate your time. And you're a great interview. See, it wasn't that bad at all.
No, not at all. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Terry. And we'll see you guys soon.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we'll be right back, Terry.
All right.
Hi, I'm Anthony Canby, driver of the number 81 Waterside Realty Royalties Fast Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The following is a presentation of Real Racin' USA. And we are back here at the Real Racin' USA Studios, and this is the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, Wednesday night, January 23rd, 2008. Terry, what do we got going on to the rest of the show?
Well, I wanted to have this gentleman on next because, you know, he's sort of up in years and he has to get his bedtime.
Oh, I know where this is going.
We have Rob Partolo on the line, Jack. You know Rob very well.
Good talking to you again, man. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Hey, been working hard this winter?
Yeah, well, actually, my younger brother, he's a full-time employee, Dan Partolo, and I'm also the car owner, Ron Summers, his son, RJ Summers, are both full-time employees now. I spent my time trying to run a business and raise my kids and everything else, and I get over there when I can, but those two guys have really been working hard here. They took our car apart in a million pieces, I think, and been working with one of our new sponsors, Glenn Woodham with LA Racing Chassis, and totally switched our car around. So hopefully we get some good results this year with it.
Yeah, I know you struggled after the Bronson race last year for about half of the year fighting, trying to get that car right. You got the same car that you just took it apart and put it back together?
No, actually the car we started out with Bronson, we only raced it about 7 or 8 times. And we had a defective wheel at I-70 Speedway in Missouri there, and that totally destroyed that car in practice. So we're on a backup car right now. We've got a new car ordered from LA Racing Chassis that should be here in the middle of March. I really can't wait to get into that car. I got to test one there at South Alabama Speedway, and I mean that thing turned in the middle of the corner, did everything it was supposed to do. You know, stuff that I just can't make our car do right now.
Are you looking at who's helping you try to figure that out, Rob?
We've got Glenn Woodham, the owner of LA Racing Chassis.
Uh-huh.
Very knowledgeable with these cars. He's got several cars doing really good, I believe, in the gas series and some other places. And he's really wanted to get into ASA, so we had a meeting with car owner Ron Summers, my brother Dan. We all went up to South Alabama there and tested one of his cars there and liked what we saw and everything else. And seemed like a real easy guy to work with and very knowledgeable of the cars, so everything sounds like it's going to be real good this season.
Yeah, when we were talking, Jack, while you were doing the break, Rob said he is definitely going after the Southern Division Championship this year.
Well, good.
Yeah, we definitely are this year. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of good things with what we have going on this year, even with our other car. You know, the chassis we have right now, a lot of guys are making it work. We just don't have the experience. A lot of guys, you know, they hire, you know, high-paid crew chiefs and things like that, and we kind of do things on our own, try to figure out our problems ourselves and stuff like that, and it takes a little bit longer. We finally started hitting it there towards the end of the season. Hickory, we had a pretty good run. I think we started 25th or something like that and ran 6th. Wish we'd had a few more laps, and that one got cut a little bit short. But we just started getting it there with the backup car. It was pretty much a twin to the first car we had, and we changed a few things there in Hickory and got it going pretty good.
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing you're staying in the ASA, because after what you know, and you guys mentioned this, I think maybe your brother mentioned this to me last year, after what you guys have learned last year and running in the ASA. If you decide to go back to racing late models in Florida, some people are going to be in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have a super late model, but, you know, we concentrate on one thing. We all have businesses to run and families to take care of and everything else. You know, I really wish racing could be a full-time thing for me, but, you know, unfortunately, there's always bills to pay and everything else.
Do you like the crate motor deal, Rob?
Well, you know, as a driver, no. if I were the car owner, I would definitely love it. But as a driver, you know, I really like the horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
These crate motors, you have to drive a lot differently. You know, I'm used to a car that moves around in the corner and everything else, and you can drive it with the gas pedal, get it to turn. You know, you have to slow it down more in the corner to get it to turn, to get bite off the corner.
Right.
These crate motors, they're totally different. And the thing I really, really don't like about the crates is on a track like Lakeland or New Smyrna, there's not enough gear. If you happen to spin the car, you can't really keep it out of the fence. You step on the floor with it, and it just stalls. There's just not enough gear or power to keep it backing up.
Well, I think I'm a definite proponent of the crate motors only because of the cost factor.
Oh, the cost is great. You know, ASA has done a pretty good job, I think. They pulled a few motors, detected a few motors here last year. I believe they threw one of them out. You know, I think there may have been some questions with a few more motors there, but really, even the ones that were questionable, those cars are handling too, so you can't really look at it that way. They're not dominating on horsepower or anything like that. You know, anything with these crate motors, you're going to have to do something totally obvious inside that motor, I think, to get it to make a big difference anyways.
Yeah, you got about 2,000 laps on Lakeland Speedway on modifieds, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a modified's a totally different thing. You know, a lot lighter and a lot more horsepower. You have to manhandle that type of car. You know, I'd love to be running a modified there this weekend, too. We sold that car.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you there'll be some the straightaways, how's this going to work? Like, it would seem to me that in the ASA cars at Lakeland, I mean, there's going to be a lot of riding, right? I mean, you're just hanging on going down the straightaways. I mean, you can't really get the turns off the corners there like you can in the Super is what I'm getting at.
Well, being a crate motor, they're not that under horsepowered. I mean, I believe they're putting out on 440 horses,
mm-hmm.
Which probably would be compared to like a limited late model or something like that. So they're not.
Right.
Down on horsepower, they run pretty good. I would think we're going to be probably, if I had to guess, within a second of the super late model times.
I gotcha. Okay.
They go through the corners a lot faster, but they're not as fast down the straightaway.
Yeah.
I got some news for you. In the Challenge division in 2009, Rob, they GM has come up with a different crate motor. It's going to be 525 horsepower off the dyno.
Uh-oh.
And that's a crate motor.
That would be nice.
And it's going to be less than $10,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I'd like to look into. I mean, you know, myself being used to driving something with some horsepower and then having to go back to, you know, running against 13- and 14-year-old kids that come out of go-karts, they're jumping into something with no horsepower. So we're all kind of on equal playing field when it comes to, you know, running by yourself out there.
Right.
I think the advantage I have is running traffic. You know, that's qualifying. We pretty much threw that out. You know, we had to take a lot of provisionals, but I told the guys, just get the car where it works as good as the one in front of me. You know, I know we can't get it as good as the fastest cars out there, but just
right.
Get it where I can stay with the field, and I'll get my way through somehow.
And the interesting thing about that motor, it's going to be sealed and then no rebuilds. And they plan this motor to last 2 or 3 years, possibly.
That's a really good idea.
And there's no rebuilds, no upgrades, nothing. It's just you pay less than $10,000 to get the motor and put it in the car and run it, and that's it.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'll talk over with my car owner, Ron Summers. I mean, that seems like the money's right on it. Because a lot of these guys with these ASA crate motors, I think you spend about $5,700 on the motor, and then you can send them back to your engine builder, and I think it's another $3,000 to go back through them again. So
exactly.
You've got $8,500, $8,700 in these motors already.
Already, and that's the point Ron Varney made at the seminars the day before the banquet. About that. They had a car there with the motor in it, and the GM guy was there, too. And it's going to be in the Challenge division only in 2009. The payout to win a Challenge race is $6,000. So if you win two races, you pay for the motor.
Right.
And I just love the idea of the crate motor and the competition level. And we had 150 race teams, Rob, sign up before the first of the year. And that's not counting the ones that signed up since then. So we're probably going to have 200 race teams registered for the 2008 season.
Wow.
How many, Terry?
200.
Yow.
And there's going to be some announcements. And if I wasn't on the radio, I'd tell you, Rob.
Well, you can tell me off the radio.
Okay.
Hear them.
But I'm really looking forward to meeting you down at Lakeland. I'm coming down to do some PR work for a 13-year-old race car driver. And that comes to my next question. What do you think about the young race car drivers that ASA allows in the series?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a bad opinion about it. I'm just, you know, to be honest with you, I'm pretty jealous myself. I had to, you know, I started out when I was 16 years old, spending every dime I had, you know, with the fan participation cars and figure eight cars and street stocks and stuff like that. You know, I was probably in my early 20s before I came up with enough money to run an open wheel modified. But on that end, I'm kind of jealous these kids have everything, you know, and everything's kind of already paid for them. You know, these developmental drivers, they're spending a couple $100,000 on these cars a year to get in and drive them and stuff like that, and everything's already there for them. You know, I just hope these kids really respect what they have, you know.
Well, I told this story to Christine Bischofberger, the ASA tech. Logan Ruffin went into the trailer, and Eddie Hoffman was in there, and he said, "You're doing a hell of a job, kid." And Logan said, "Thanks," and walked out. And his dad asked him, he said, "You know who that was?" And Logan said, "No."
Yeah. But I wouldn't know who a lot of guys are either. I mean, it's tough to follow everything. There's so much racing everywhere. You know, my first ASA race, when I showed up there, you know, I didn't know pretty much anybody in the field. And I'm sure nobody knew who I was either. But yeah, you can't ask these kids to know everybody and everything else.
Right.
I'd like to see them under the hood working on their cars, you know, learning their cars and stuff like that. I see a lot of them get out of their cars and throw a fit and, you know, walk off into their hauler sometimes. I'm thinking, man, if I had that chance when I was that age, you know, where would I be now?
I've had a couple of people that I worked with that did exactly the same thing. But, Jack?
It's a big, you know, the Partlow family. You have the whole family at every race just about, don't you?
Oh yeah, they follow me everywhere.
Yeah, it's always, and it's always been that way. I remember the first time that I ever met you was at Lakeland a long, long time ago, probably, I don't know, 8-9 years ago or something like that. And you had the whole family there, and we took a picture of your whole family, and it's still the same, man.
Yeah, in the beginning it was hard to get them out there when I first started out. Parents were against, you know, me racing and everything else. And once I started bringing a few trophies home, they came out and saw what it was. You know, they were hooked.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the show. You don't have any more questions?
No, yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you Friday and Saturday, Rob.
Yeah, we'll be down Friday and Saturday.
Good luck,
man. Look forward. What's your car number?
Car number 93.
93.
We've also got a new sponsor on board this weekend helping us out, A&M Powder Coating.
Oh, cool.
If you need chassis done, they can rush them through.
All right. Well, you did a commercial for him.
There you go.
All right, Rob, and look forward to meeting you, and you take care, and good luck.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Rob Partlow.
All right, Jerry, well, I'll tell you what. Rob, that is true. Rob, his brother, and the whole family, I mean, it's a class act all the way. They're good people.
All right. Well, you got.
What? Who we coming back with? What else we got going on here? We're talking to Trent Snyder,
the Northern Division champion, on next.
Trent Snyder.
Yep.
And who we talking to also?
Sean Murphy.
Yes, Sean Murphy.
Chicago, Illinois, who just up and decided he wanted to go from midget asphalt racing to the ASA series.
I wonder if he's Irish too. He must be.
Might be.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
And we're back here at the ASA Fast Lane, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane on Wednesday night. And I'm Jack Smith, Terry Wall, and we have with us Trent Snyder.
Yes, Trent Snyder, who was the Northern Division champion of the ASA late
night. Oh, all right.
Welcome to the show, Trent.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be on.
Well, I'll ask the first question. How's it feel to be a champion?
It feels pretty good, and after this last weekend now with the awards and everything, it finally feels official, and it's good to be ASA champ, and hopefully we can have a shot at doing it again next year.
You got a target on your back now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll definitely be tougher this season. I think there'll be more good teams and drivers, even more than there was last year, so I think it'll be even tougher this year.
Well, talking about tougher, how much more tougher you want? You know, going into the last race, the championship went back and forth I don't know how many times. The points championship, Jack, was changing practically every lap until one of his competitors, I'm not sure which one, Charlie Menard, I believe, fell out of the race, and Trent was assured of the championship.
Yeah, nip and tuck.
Yeah, that was way too high stressful for me. That last race, I was hoping to go in with a little bigger lead than that, but it put on some good racing. It was exciting for the fans and everyone that was paying attention to it, though.
So what's your plans for next year? Another ASA championship?
That would definitely be nice. Our plans are just to run the whole North Series events this season, too, and hopefully have a shot at winning it again. That would be real awesome. And we'll run a few ASA Challenge races and maybe a few select Super Late Model races. Not totally sure yet, but
yeah, I want you to tell the story, Jack. Trent was asked to get in front of all the owners and drivers at the seminar to tell them that you can actually win a championship and not have a super budget like some of the other teams have. You want to sort of fill Jack in on what you said at the bank, at the seminar?
Yeah, I just kind of explained to everyone that you don't need that super big, huge budget to run the ASA the series. You know, they got the crate motor and everything to help keep costs down somewhat. You know, I mean, obviously a huge budget would be nice and helpful, but you don't have to have it to win races and I guess win championships. But I was just saying that we spent. A lot of time in cheap motels and dollar menu, and we buy all our stuff at Sam's Club, our water and Gatorade, which that helps save a bunch of money. But also, like, the biggest thing is just, you know, getting your car set up in the shop so you're not wasting time when you're at the track and not wasting tires when you're out there. If the car's not good, come in right away and make changes and don't burn up your tires because, you know, we didn't even buy brand new tires every race we went to. It was about every other race we'd have to get a set. But that was the biggest thing as far as kind of saving money that I talked about.
So you, that's what you said at the banquet?
Yeah, I said I got it more in depth, but that was kind of the gist of it there, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good, that's good that you did that. You know, I don't know if you know him or not, but Brandon Johnson from the South Division, you and he probably have a lot alike in that regard, because he too, I mean, with what he, you know, he, I think he ended up coming in third, something like that in the overall standings. He was somewhere up there in the top five. I think he ended up third, but, and he won a race at New Smyrna Speedway. No budget. I mean, him and his girlfriend and his dad, you know, I mean, that was it. And so you did somewhat the same thing. I mean, you guys together proved that you can be successful on this tour. And I'm sure if you guys compared notes, a lot of the things that you were just saying is the same kind of approach they took. You know, they didn't have the money to go waste tires, so they
exactly.
So they didn't, you know.
And I think that's just a testament to the Ron and Sandy Varney with ASA, that they built a series that you can do that. You know, we don't have to have those $40,000 engines or whatever, you know, which is a huge help to a guy like me or Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, I mean,
well, when he mentioned, Jack, that they ate dollar menus.
The what?
When Trent said he ate at a lot of dollar menus, it brought down the house.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was laughing.
Yeah. You know all the Waffle Houses are, right?
Yeah, that's more down south, but we had a few. We went by a few of them this year.
So, give us a mention of your sponsors. I forgot to give Rob the opportunity, but he actually did get a sponsor. Go ahead and tell the folks on listen to the radio who helps you out.
Well, we got Donlinger Chevrolet, Malacca Unclaimed Freight, Gene Ross Eyewear, Shannon's Auto Body, National Fleet Graphics, Aggressive Hydraulics. Who else we got? We got Eugene Dick, Roman Luann Schaefer. Of course, I got to thank my dad. He's always been there and helped me, and financially and everything else. But you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to be doing. You know, the two of us have spent the last, I don't know, 12, 14 years. You know, all our time and money between us both, racing and everything. So I owe, you know, pretty much everything to him.
I'm going to pose a question to you that I asked Rob Partolo. What do you think? I know what you think about the crate motor racing, but what do you think about the young drivers coming in to the ASA running? I mean, we had this conversation at dinner on Friday night, but what do you think about the younger drivers coming in and running with y'all?
Well, I think it's a great series to be having younger drivers, you know, have them learn and move up. And I mean, we've had so many guys already move on through ASA that it just kind of proves that. But, yeah, I think it's just a great series, you know, for anybody to come in and run. And there's been tons of young drivers like Alex Kennedy. He did super good last year. And I don't know what he's planning on doing this coming year, but, I mean, he was only 15, and he ran like just about a veteran out there every week. So I think it's a great, you know, series to learn and to just kind of progress. And now that they got that new engine package coming out for 09 in the Challenge Division, now ASA will kind of have a two-step program, you know, to even move up further.
Yeah, I think ASA is very self-contained in that respect.
So let me ask you the final deal here, Trent. I mean, you touched on some of the things that you got to do, but how hard is it to win a championship in this series? How hard is it? What do you really got to go through to win it? If you really want to do it, what are the mountains you got to overcome?
I don't know. It definitely wasn't easy by any means. We live so far away too. We spend hours and hours in the truck on the road, you know, week in and week out, and I spent tons of hours in the shop maintaining the car and preparing them. And I mean, that's probably the most important, you know, is the hard work and time that we put in before we even went to the track. So that way, when we got there, we were pretty much ready to go. And I don't know. There's a lot of adversity, and it was a long. I mean, there was only 10 races, but it was a long season. So, yeah, it definitely was not easy by any means.
Yeah.
Well, Trent, we want to thank you for being on the show. I'm sure we'll talk to you many times throughout the race season this year. and keep us updated on what you're doing. I want to thank you for inviting me to dinner, even though I paid my own dinner. That's okay. But but I appreciate your time, and tell your dad hey for me, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the first race. I believe it's in March, isn't it?
I think the first one we're going to be running is April 11th at Toledo, Ohio. I think that's the first North race. And
oh, okay.
I think that'll be the first race we plan on running. And I just got to say, I got to thank Steve Strasburg at Race Car Help, too, for all the help that he gave me this past season and to get this championship. There's so much I owe to him because he's just a great guy, a great friend, and I can't thank him enough.
All right. Thanks, Trent, for being on the show, and we'll look forward to having you again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Trent Snyder, the ASA Late Model North Division Champion.
Yeah, I want to find out if Sean Murphy's Irish or not.
Well, we're going to find out here in just a short period of time.
All right, well, you go get him. Go get him.
I'll do it.
All right. You know, and this weekend at USA International Speedway, some of the entries expected in the ASA Late Models are Bo Slocum. And anytime Bo gets in an ASA race, he's got a chance to win it from Juliet, Georgia, sponsor of Zaxby's and Regions Bank. Let's see, Eddie Hoffman's going to be there, of course, and Eddie's going to be doing double duty from what I understand. He won the big Speedfest deal last year in the Super Late Models. He'll be there. I think he's doing double duty this year. You got Travis Cope, and Travis is doing double duty. He'll be racing in the ASA race at Lakeland this weekend, as well as Super Late Models. You got from Medina, Ohio, you have the Machine Ford of Jack Smith. You have Sean Murphy. We're going to talk to him. And David Stremme is going to have a car there. Wes Burton will be there. Chris Fontaine is determined, if you listened to him on our show last week. He's from Auburndale. And Chris Fontaine is determined to win this championship in the South this year. And he knows Lakeland as good as any of these guys do, probably. And Wayne Morris, the old man from Mulberry, he'll be back there. And, of course, Wayne has thousands of laps in modifieds, late models, super late models, and probably shopping carts around USA International Speedway. Travis Wilson, Jeremy Gerstner, Logan Ruffin, the youngster, real young. Terry's doing some work with him. Jimmy Lang will be there, and Rob Partlow, of course, Patrick Starpoli. I think Drew Brannon. I guess it's Don Brannon. I think that's Drew Brannon. He's a youngster from Miami who is just a boatload of talent, and if he decides to race the ASA Challenge or Southern Division, either one, he will be a competitor that will race up front. There's no doubt about that. So we'll get back here and see if Terry's rounded up. Terry, do we have we hooked up with Sean Murphy yet?
No, you kept talking. I thought we were going to break.
Oh, no.
I
was doing the break. Now we'll go to break. What the heck?
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
All right, we are back here in the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. And there's going to be a ton of good talent at the race at Lakeland. And I'll tell you, if you can get a way to get to that race, you'll have a good time, because not only do you have the ASA late models, you got some of the best super late model racers from North and the South, and plus a couple of superstars like Kyle Busch.
Who is he?
Who's he? Maybe he'll make the race.
Yeah, David Stremme, too.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe David will make the race.
And Ray Evenham's going to be there, Jack.
Yeah, has that been confirmed yet?
Well, David Stremme said that
he might be there.
Possibly putting Ray in one of his cars.
Well, David's not going to drive that car in the ASA deal, that 35 from the North, and he's going to put somebody in it. And like he said, you know, and I was up there at Orange County, he put somebody in it. They got a good chance of winning because you know it's a good car.
Oh, yeah.
So, Welcome to O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, Sean Murphy.
Thank you.
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Sean, I got a question right off the bat. Are you Irish?
Only 50%.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, Irish enough.
All right, that's Irish enough. All right, cool.
Well,
all right, Jerry, take it away.
First question I wanted to ask Mr. Murphy is, I met Sean Murphy at the ASA banquet, and he was there scouting, I guess, and getting all the information he could. But Sean is from Midget on Pavement in the Chicagoland area. And Sean, my first question is, what made you decide to go from Midgets on Pavement to the ASA Late Model Series?
Well, Terry, the answer was kind of obvious. I got selected for this NASCAR reality TV show back in 2006 called Racing for a Living. And what it was like 3,000 applicants. They picked 50 drivers, two per state, and you had to compete online and, you know, do as many radio, TV, and newspaper articles as possible to kind of, like, create votes. And what it was is the whole thing was it was for seven fully sponsored NASCAR Busch Rides, and as the competition moved along, I was doing well. I was it looked about three quarters into it that I was going to be on make the show. So up until that point, I had never turned a lap in a stock car before, and so I kind of decided at that point that I needed to get some seat time because. And I didn't want to blow my one chance on this opportunity. And so I had a friend of mine, Scotty Kerner, who had a late model, and I was fortunate enough to let him or have him rent me the ride a few times. And did phenomenally well, considering it was a late model, my first time ever in that heavy of a car, and plus it was like 625 horsepower, and pulled off like two top 10 finishes right off the bat against guys that had been running the entire season. So that was a good year for us. I tried out my first ASA race over at La Crosse, and I got a taste of what ASA was all about. And kind of over the winter, my dad and I got to talking, and this is the direction that I wanted to take my career. And we decided on purchasing a competitive ASA late model. And it's going pretty good so far. Last season, had a lot of bills to pay, brand new race car, trailer, yada yada. So we just raced locally. But the six times that I did run, we had five top five finishes and a second place feature finish and two heat race wins. So I'd like to say it was pretty successful. So I'm really looking forward to see what I can do in the ASA circuits against some of these 13-year-olds. You know.
Well, are you going to run the whole series? I know we talked about it at the banquet that you wasn't sure. Are you going to try and run like the whole Northern series?
Yeah, that really depends, Terry, on sponsorship. Right now, I don't have secure funding to run the entire series. I think I'm going to be able to pull off a little over half. Depends on how much we run locally and obviously how many races that I do well in.
Well, you know, at the seminar, Jeremy Gerstner said he did the whole season for $36,000.
Yeah.
And if you could do that, I think maybe you can make all the races, and hopefully the purse money will help the rest. But it's interesting, a guy from Chicago, you know. Chicago, I was on the south side of Chicago for years and years and years, and Chicago's known for the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Blackhawks, the Bulls. But not many racers. Freddie Lorenzen is the only guy I know, and he's an oldie, that was from Chicago and went to NASCAR.
That was one thing I found really interesting, especially with the Racing for a Living, when you have to contact, like I had to contact ABC and all these radio stations like Q101 and 103.5, and a lot of them really turn the other cheek when you ask them to get on some airtime for racing. It's really a tough market here. I mean, you do have Bulls, you've got the Bears, you've got the Cubs, you've got the Sox. I mean, the market's already pretty well flooded with that stuff, and it's things that have taken a really firm root in the Chicagoland area.
Well, that sparks Jack centrist then when you say that they don't.
Well, yeah, I was already. You know, you're too amazing. I mean, through the magic of internet technology and technology in general, Terry and I are not in the same room. But he knew that the hair was standing up on my back when you were saying that. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Jack is a proponent of these newspapers and TV that don't cover racing. He hates it.
That's why we do this. That's exactly why we have seven shows on, Real Racing USA, and we support the websites like Race Talk Radio up there in the north and Dennis Michelson and the stuff they do, because somebody's got to do it. And what we've started doing, I'll tell you, this is interesting, Sean. We have two shows, and this is just to throw this out as an idea. We have two shows. Well, actually, one of them's official. The other one, we haven't made the announcement yet. But we have two shows that are on AM and FM radio stations in the South where they don't have internet access. They don't put them on the internet, or they don't archive them. Basically, they don't archive them. So you don't hear the show live. You don't hear it. So we've started archiving those shows for those folks just as a service to the public. And we need more media out there. I mean, it's like we've been talking to people here lately, and, we talk to people around the country every week who are involved in the promotion of motorsports. And until we can get where the local short track racer is as known in his town as the local high school football star, we haven't done our job. And I'll get off my soapbox now.
I mean, kudos to you guys for giving the Chicagoland Racers, a media to kind of talk and get themselves out there. Because, it's truly a tough market, like I said. So, if it wasn't for a few people, I wouldn't have been as successful in the Racing for a Living competition. Ramble and Ray from US 99.5 was grateful enough to put me on his show a couple times. And, also that Motorsports Unlimited show. I don't know if you guys ever seen that or not. But Bill Wilt helped me out, too. And he's another guy that, likes to help promote young drivers and get out there on TV and do their thing for their sponsors. So,
Well, I think, Sean, people like you getting involved with the ASA is why the ASA Late Model Series is great. Because you recognize a good series, and we are working on television and different things for the series, and you are exactly what the ASA series needs, is people like you and drivers like you that move from, open wheels, modifieds, or midgets, or sprints, to full-body cars. And I'm sort of glad. I know you were bird dogging Howie Leto down there, and... And it's tough, isn't it, Sean?
I was just networking and finding out as much information on, how much testing they do, how much they spend.
Right.
Still there? Okay. I heard a beep.
Yeah.
And, found out some interesting things. So, we're going to do it with the budget that we get. I mean, that's the way we've always done it. And, thank God I've got, I'm a good driver, and I've got an engineering degree under my belt that is really accelerated me, through racing with just the learning and the driving aspect part of it. But there's been a lot to learn. I mean, that transition from open wheel cars to stock cars is a pretty hefty one. And,
right.
And I'd like to thank my car chief, Ralph Malik, for kind of helping us out a lot and teaching us what we had to learn. And without him, I don't think we would have been as successful, or we would have. It just would have taken twice as long, so it's been very beneficial to speed up the learning curve.
I got Sean's card at the banquet, Jack.
Yes.
I got two cards from him, actually, an ASA card and this card. Like, you remember Carl Edwards used to pass out cards when he started his career? I'm going to read your card, Sean, if you don't mind. 20 years of racing experience, karting, midgets, late model, NASCAR training. 20 feature wins and 30 heat wins, 30 top 5, 70 top 10. Professional skills, mechanical engineer, data acquisition, chassis setup, MIG and TIG welding, and body hanging. That's a card he passes out.
Now, that's a concept.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to think a little bit outside of the box, you know, some of the things that...
That's cool, Sean.
Thank you. Just be different.
I'm going to steal that.
My whole life, I've kind of cut my teeth on becoming a race car driver, just kind of lacked the funding some of these other kids have. So it's been an interesting fight so far, but I'm definitely not gonna turn in the card yet. So
I bet you a dollar you didn't think I would ever call you for the radio show either.
No, surprised. So, thank you very much for giving me some airtime.
No problem.
Yeah, well,
we'll keep track of your career. Yeah. This coming year, and see what you're doing. You keep track of us, and then I'm sure we'll have you on again down the road.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks, Sean.
Sean Murphy.
Yeah.
The other Sean Murphy.
The other Sean. Oh, we forgot to say that.
Yeah, the other Sean Murphy.
You still there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, I asked Sean about the other Sean Murphy, and Sean says, yeah, that's my stunt double.
There you go.
Put them all in for all the danger stunts.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, Sean, I wouldn't bet against your stunt double of doing some big things this year in the ASA. So,
and then we think you're going to do big things too, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching him all season. I'm actually on his mailing list, and it just kind of irks me a little bit every time he gets the top 10. You know, thinking, hey, that could be me. But
it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Season.
Yeah. I think with your determination and your background and your skills, you're going to be a winner in the ASA very soon.
All right, Sean. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Sean.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay, Terry. This weekend, it is USA International Speedway. Oh, my God. Speedfest 2008.
It's going to be awesome, isn't it?
This really, every year, this is the coolest thing that they do there, because this is the real deal that kicks off, really gets... The new year going in terms. I mean, there's some other races around, but this is for asphalt racing. It's the first big deal of the year, and it couldn't be at a nicer facility in the South. I mean, USA is as good a short track as you'll find anywhere, and it's a big short track.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. I asked you this once already, but you don't think I need to sneak you in again this time?
Okay, Terry, keep it up. You keep it up. Yeah, no, yeah, I don't think you do. But, you know, hey, for old time's sake, if it makes you feel good.
Well, I'm going to bring my Real Racing USA badge, and I'm going to get in with that, I think, just for old time's sake.
All right. We will we'll see you tomorrow, Friday, Terry. And
all right.
We'll be here next Wednesday night at, contrary to what our ad says, we will be here at 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And, who knows what we'll have on, but I guarantee you we'll have the winner of the race at Lakeland on.
Both races.
Absolutely.